The holidays are an incredibly important time for family, especially family members who you might not even know about that exist out there. But year-round, keeping those family members safe is vital. That's why this week's sponsor on the Bloom Files are our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. The truth is out there. And here, who knows? Either way, we are opening up the Bloom Files here on Post Show Recaps, an X-Files first watch / rewatch podcast. Hello, everybody. Mike Bloom here talking about holiday special.
Ding dongy dong, ding dongy dong.
Is that the song you hear when the aliens come to take you?
Yeah, you hear Carol of the Bells, but with ding-dongies.
Yeah, instead it's not actually the bells. It's just someone going ding. That's how the aliens talk. They only speak in ding-dongy.
Yeah, perfect.
That voice you're hearing, if you're saying, "Hark the Herald Angela sing," you would be correct.
This is dumb.
Well, listen, you know, we're about 6 months actually away from Christmas.
Yeah, so we didn't really time this one correctly.
I think we timed it perfectly, actually.
Yeah, it's almost Christmas in July.
Here's a reminder to everyone. Start your shopping. It's only 6 months until Christmas.
Yeah, because that's what it's about.
Well, listen, some people might have children they don't know about that they need to shop for. So when in doubt, just get an extra gift.
And on that note...
So we're talking about two episodes from the beginning of the X-Files Season 5. Christmas Carol and Emily. Did they miss the mark by not calling
the child Carol? Yes, I was going to say the same thing, but they couldn't call the episodes Christmas Carol and then Carol.
Christmas Carol and then Carol.
Yeah, not great, not great, but yeah, exciting stuff.
Wild-ass stuff.
Yeah.
Really wild stuff. I would also say very different episodes. Like, the first episode seems more like an out-and-out mystery, and then the second episode is sort of like almost like a medical drama. I know you've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
I've been doing a full rewatch slash first watch of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my god, you're like Bloom's filing your own.
I am. So I only ever watched the first two seasons and then like fell off like in a pretty dramatic way, and then now I'm just,
you found out that Izzy would have no alive love.
No, I just was over it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. So
is that accurate then? Is this like the Grey's Anatomy episode of?
Yeah, maybe. Kind of, in that there was like a medical mystery to solve, but a little too spooky.
Yeah, it's like spooky house.
Yeah, spooky house.
Well, let's get into Christmas Carol here, because we're going to open on really like the onus behind these two episodes, which is that there's going to be a Scully family Christmas gathering
at the Christmas San Diego Naval Base. Bill Scully household.
Yeah, we get to meet Bill's wife here. Bill, of course, makes a commanding appearance, Mr. Milquetoast over here.
Totally. He's the most boring person ever. And so is Tara.
That's the name of his wife. Yeah, I don't even remember the name of his wife.
Yeah, and the speech she gives at the Christmas table makes me want to die about how she's never felt more complete and her life didn't have any meaning.
Exactly.
Until she had a baby.
I think I was born to do this.
Like, it's like the rhetoric you hear as a mom all the time, that you should feel like complete and whole because you're a mother now, is like wild that was part of this.
This is why men have those beliefs, by
this
the way.
This is why.
They're like, oh, they're just meant to have children. It's because of people who believe things like this.
Yeah, no, it's like a pretty toxic mentality to have, but I think it was pretty common in the 90s to like believe that and purport that sort of understanding.
So I can imagine that this is probably the first, at least, family holiday gathering since the death of Melissa, right? Because like that seems to be the pall that's hanging over this.
I think so. I think like in full, I think that probably the mom and Bill and Tara have been getting together more often than not. And then,
well, where is Mrs. Scully situated? Like, is she hanging out?
Isn't she in I think she's still, she's close by.
She's hanging out in San Diego with him and Tara Armstrong.
No, because she comes to see Scully more often than not on the East Coast. So, no, I think I forget where she lives, but she lives on the East Coast.
Okay.
And as far as I remember, but, she probably goes and sees them, whereas getting Scully out there is harder.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons why Scully might not want to make a visit anytime soon is because we're going to start this runner, right, where she gets a call a la Scream,
yes,
or The Ring.
The phone, yeah, the call phone is coming rings, from within the house, or from the beyond.
From like beyond this plane of existence. She gets a mysterious phone call that just says, Dana, she needs your help. Go to her.
Yeah.
So this, you told me this, is the actress who plays Melissa?
Yes, and it's... I mean, that's what I assume. I don't actually know for certain, but yeah, it sounds just like her. So, I mean, unless it's an actress doing her voice, it's meant to sound like Melissa. So
right.
Whether or not it's that actress is moot.
So this is one of the mysteries that goes unresolved in these two episodes.
Yeah. Like, yes.
What is this? Do you have any
thoughts? I still don't know. My guess is like, because she's an alien human hybrid, the little girl, that she has some kind of ability to like call out and like made all this happen.
Well,
or it's a ghost.
Could it be? Are there cloned Melissas?
Potentially, but I don't think that that's meant to be the case here.
One of the Melissas is calling her.
I think it's supposed to be a little bit more spiritual.
Well, yeah, because I mean, that seems to be Scully's MO, right? Like, we talked about this
yes.
with One Breath. She had that guardian angel.
Yes.
Maybe this is just heaven's looking out for Dana Scully.
Yeah, there's
right
been
now.
There's been situations in the past where this has happened to her, where like something spooky, sort of spiritual, angel-esque calls upon her and guides her. So, she traces the call from dead Melissa.
Yeah, if only there was if this was on the WB, that could have been a literal crossover with Angel.
Maybe, but not the same.
No, definitely.
Not the same vibe there.
Yeah, we don't want another vampire episode.
Maybe Ghost Whisperer.
So yeah, Scully Star 69's the call, basically. Mm-hmm. And finds out that the call came from this house that we find out is like Emily's foster home. And
her adoptive parents.
Her adoptive parents.
Yeah.
But her child, it's also a crime scene actively mm-hmm. because the mother of the house slit her wrists in the bathtub.
So it seems. Yeah. So they're investigating the suicide of Roberta Sim. And the lead detective tells Scully basically that it was not possible for Roberta to have dialed
died. And these like stupid San Diego cops are like yucking it up, right?
Yeah,
like openly
totally.
Laughing at Scully about like, oh, she thought she got a phone call from this murder scene.
Yeah. This is like a pretty gruesome scene. This is pretty dark, pretty twisted for a Christmas episode to like dive right into like the
dive in.
Sorry, my words are not with me this evening. But yeah, it's pretty dark for this kind of a Christmassy vibe that they're going for, and it goes right into a suicide. So yeah, they're not acting the best.
Well, Scully's not taking a holiday. Evidently, it seems like Mulder is. We get like a couple of scenes in him in this episode. I read that that's because I think David Duchovny was filming something at the time. So they're like, all right, we'll give Scully sort of like her standalone episode. But like, what is he wearing?
Outdoor Mulder.
Well, he's wearing like
outdoor
a
Mulder
long
Barbie
ski cap.
I love
only,
it.
I thought
it's
only
a
like old sleeping men wear. Hats
I think
that
he
long.
Is in like what I would assume is like a winter fishing attire, like, or a winter cabin look. Like, he's getting away for the weekend by himself in a cabin.
Yeah, that's the sad thing, right? Is because, like, outside of Scully, he has, like, no one to hang out with.
Yeah, there is this, like, assumption throughout the beginning few seasons of The X-Files that, like, Mulder is, like, capable of, like getting ladies and like hanging out, like he goes to like bars and you know, so like I do feel like there is that assumption in the first few seasons of The X-Files that he's more social, but yeah, it's completely gone by this point. He's just in a cabin by himself at Christmas. So
I mean, listen,
he's had a rough time.
Yeah, he has to do his own sort of ruminating over like dead family members.
Exactly,
too.
Exactly.
This is the scene that you mentioned before where Bill's wife is like really digging in this knife.
Yeah,
because Scully is going to reveal to her mom that she's barren. Remind me, so this all jumbles together. Did she find out about that in Memento Mori?
No, she did. So Mulder finds out about it, but says, like, let's keep this to ourselves.
Right.
But I guess we're supposed to assume that Scully found out about it in some capacity in the in-between time.
Yeah, or if there's an episode.
Yeah, whatever. But Mulder doesn't know that Scully knows, and we'll find that out later in the episode, too, because she says something to him, and he's like, oh, I didn't realize you knew. I was trying to protect you.
Well, because the thing is, he also has the whole secret of, like, the green vial harvested egg, right? That you're going to keep on the entire time.
Yeah, so, yikes.
For right now, let's get losty here, Angela, because we're going to get some flashbacks.
Yeah, which is actually, so one of the flashbacks has Gillian Anderson's younger sister, Zoe, plays Scully in the flashback sequence.
I think that's not the first one. I think
no, it's the older one.
It's like the teenager's like brace face. Oh, I wonder what's in this gift.
Yeah, exactly.
But this first one is kind of like creepy Scully, right? Like Bill. Yeah,
like a six-year-old
Bill's
girl.
Bill's like, where's my rabbit? And she's like, I don't know. He's like, I'm going to kill you, little punk.
No, so it's Scully has the rabbit.
Yeah.
And she saved the rabbit. It's not Bill's rabbit. She like tried to keep this rabbit and Bill was like, no, we're going to kill the rabbit and we're going to eat it. And so she was like, no, I'm not going to let you kill the rabbit.
I mean, is this from like her hunting family?
Yeah, this is from her hunting family and she lives with a bunch of boys and she feels like a little bit outside of that. She's a little bit more gentle-hearted than the hunting mentality.
Listen,
leads.
Scully, fantastic intention. Maybe next time, feed the rabbit.
Yeah, so she puts a little rabbit in a box with a little thing of water, thinking it'll like be alive, but suffocates to
and
death.
And is covered in maggots.
Yeah, like it dies, basically. And
I don't know
like
how the
really
maggots got in there.
Maggots will, where maggots will, I guess.
They like apparate into the lunchbox.
Yeah, no, it's really actually pretty traumatizing.
And this is the second story of, I think, like Scully's soft-heartedness when it comes to animals, right? Because I feel like in that episode when we first met Melissa, right, wasn't there the whole story
about the
like,
snake? They were shooting at the snake and she wanted to like be a part of it and then realized that it was actually going to kill the snake and she couldn't do anything about it. And it was like very traumatizing.
So I was confused for a second because we're going to get into this whole runner, right, that this little girl, Emily, looks like Melissa, and then Scully sees this girl in her dream. Now, was this Emily or was this Melissa?
I think this is Emily. I think it's Emily, and then I think it's like meant to be that she just like is in the dream with Scully because Scully's an adult in the dream.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't think it's meant to be Melissa, but it might be a little bit of both, you know. But I did also read that the actress that plays little girl Emily was completely recast after they shot this scene and then also the most of the next episode because the little girl that it was originally cast was afraid of the hospital. So they had to recast and reshoot everything, which is like, yikes.
Wow, so reshoot the entire, because she was a very pivotal part of that episode, too.
Well, yeah, so most, they got partway through the second episode, but this, they had to like reshoot these scenes, too, because they had done a bunch of scenes with her for this show, episode, too, which is wild. But, yeah.
So Scully is going to wake up to yet another silence call. She's gonna come by the Sim's house, and it's tough. At this point, I said, "Poor Mr. Sim." We'll find out, you know, other stuff about Mr. Sim later on.
I mean, it's still kind of poor Mr. Sim.
I mean, this guy lost his wife earlier this morning, and like this woman comes by, like, "Oh, you keep calling me. I'm really curious about it. Like, go away."
Yeah, you were on his side, whereas I was like a little bit more like, "What was she supposed to do?" Because she's like an FBI agent. She's somebody who investigates things. She's not gonna like if somebody's calling for help. Like, she does need to follow up on it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like don't go directly
I
there.
I guess so. But she also sees that he's meeting with two, like, dark-suited men inside.
Yeah, like two goons.
And this guy's like, no, go away.
And this is when we also find out that Mr. Sim, there's a lot going on with the Sims. They're speaking gobbledygook to each other.
They are, truly.
Someone took out the ladder from the pool and left them stranded in there. Maybe that's how Roberta Sim died.
Well, and Scully goes, doesn't she go to the police station now?
Yeah, and so this is where she finds out a little bit more about him, right? That there was, like, a domestic dispute a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that there was, like, the...
She, like, looks into him a little
and
bit.
And she looks into the toxicology report, and, like, she detects some sort of, like, local anesthetic.
Well, so there wasn't going to be a toxicology report, because she goes to visit the detective. And she's like, I want to look further into the suicide. And the guy's like, it's a suicide. There's not going to be an autopsy.
Right.
And she's like, no, I think we need to have
one. Right. Because she says, like, oftentimes people who cut their wrists don't get it right on the first try. So she thinks it was a murder staged to be a suicide.
Yeah. Because she said, first of all, there wasn't a lot of blood. Second of all, the cuts were done, like, post-mortem.
Yeah.
And they find, basically she's talking to the autopsy doctor and she on the toxicology report is this sort of drug, but it doesn't
so
show
much
up.
So anesthetic on the X-Files the past couple episodes.
It doesn't show up in her stomach in the autopsy because it was injected through her foot.
It's her, like, little tiny prick in the heel.
Yeah, which is wild.
Yeah, so as Scully's, this is when we're going to find out, right, that Scully's going to look at the picture of younger Melissa and be like, oh my God, it's Emily. I found it weird. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Maybe my family are the weird ones. That they labeled every single picture in the album. That was very interesting to me.
No, they did that. We have pictures like that.
Really? My family albums don't. We just sort of threw them all into an album and like go through. Oh,
no,
like,
my mom has labels underneath each picture.
The labels for us are verbal.
Yes. And then a lot of the times on the back of the photo is the date when it was printed.
Or like on the, you know, depending if it's like done with, you know, a typical camera on the lower corner right will be like the date.
Yeah, not really. Most of the that was like really old cameras, but like the when you got them printed, it will have the date on the back. My mom labeled everything.
Yeah, for some reason, literally every single family album I've had, like, it has never been labeled.
And there's no story to tell there.
You try to figure it out. I think it's a lot of context.
Yeah, like, my mom would write, like, oh, Angela in the hospital, like, on...
What?
Like, when they have, like, the pictures of, like, me being born.
I thought it was, like, trip to the hospital, cheese.
Well, I had my tonsils out, so maybe that was something to commemorate.
I don't know if you put that in an album. You were so swollen that day, remember?
I do remember. I was 5. It was awful.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, you could have had a real Emily situation on your
hands. Truly. But, yeah, so she thinks that, whatever, Melissa looks like... Emily looks like Melissa from when she was that age.
Yeah,
and so she has a flashback to a funeral when she was a little girl.
Well, no, but this is now, this is all flashbacks / dreams,
yes,
right?
Yes, this is another one.
In this one, there's, like,
holding
lighted, illuminated
cross.
She's walking with someone down this
It's Marshall aisle. Sim. It's the dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
didn't realize that was...
It's dad...
Daddy Sim.
Daddy Sim, yeah.
Okay. But, you know, basically, they use the cheat code the Sims did.
Yeah,
to produce,
Rosebud.
Instead of a coffin, it's like a bathtub that's dripping blood.
Yeah, it's really creepy. So, yeah, she basically, like, takes from this that she... this is, I guess, before she performs the autopsy, but she takes from this that she's been murdered. She's like, I know she's been murdered, and she figures it out.
And it's also become abundantly clear at this point that Scully is shirking her family very blatantly.
Yeah, they're all, like, going out shopping and, like, going to the zoo and, like, all these fun things, and she's missing out on all the fun.
Yeah, she's sort of a workaholic in that regard, but again, I also don't think, honestly, she would be as concerned if she wasn't sort of chasing this end of, oh, wait, if she looks like my dead sister, then something must be going on here.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and then she also keeps getting these spooky, totally spooky phone calls, so...
So, let's talk about the Mr. Sim side of things, because Mr. Sim's like, he's about to get sort of, like, arrested here, So my assumption was that after all this was that Roberta Sims' murder and Mr. Sims' murder were from the syndicate.
Yes, who is running whatever trials are happening in this pharmaceutical company,
right,
with Dr. Calderon.
So what I find interesting, though, is that Scully does a pretty good job, like, undressing Mr. Sims' alibi, right? When he's like, oh, I called the police, and she's like, well, that's weird, because then he called you, and then you came there and the phone was off the hook.
Well, because so my guess is that Roberta and Marshall Sim were like pawns. Like, they were paid a lot of money to adopt this girl.
Yeah.
Not really knowing a ton about what was happening and just sort of being told what to do because they were given like a ton of money. So they were like, I don't think they didn't love the little girl.
Because that's the whole, you know, we'll get later on, right? That like he made a bunch of $30,000 deposits.
So I think what happened was that these guys were kind of roped into everything and then got in a little too deep. And it does seem like he does like the little girl. Like, I feel bad. And so I think what happens is maybe Roberta Sim is killed because of that. Like, she sort of says, like, I don't think we should be doing this to this little girl. Mm. Like, I think that they get in a little too deep, and then they kill the wife, and then that's why the men are there, because they're telling him what to do.
Right.
They're like,
So he just came up with, like, a really shitty alibi.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he knew that she was going to be killed, I guess. But... either way, sucks to be them.
Yeah, exactly. So basically now, you know, now Scully's going to try to call for a PCR investigation. There's so many acronyms going on in these two episodes. Maybe that's what happens when you deal with a medical doctor.
Yeah, because she wants to get the DNA results on Emily Sims, right?
So you are not the mother, basically. And so, you know, Scully's going to tell this to Mrs. Scully. Of course, Mrs. Scully doesn't believe her. Though they do talk about, like, And this is, again, going back to, I can't remember what episode, the whole thing about, like, oh, yeah, they're still with us even when they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, like, the whole Michael, I keep saying the Michael Bublé episode.
Yeah,
like
the Michael Bublé episode.
With Bill Mulder's friend about, like, how the spirits ever leave us.
Yeah, so, but basically, what happens is that Scully gets the DNA results from Melissa, because she ran them during Melissa's murder investigation for some reason. And she basically decides that, from this DNA test, that Emily and Melissa's are so close, they're nearly identical, she must be Melissa's daughter. And she's like, oh, she must have given birth to her, like, when she was away for those, like, 8 months.
Yeah, exactly.
In the 90s, like, wild, early 90s.
You know, wild and fancy-free. I mean, it's not untrue, right?
I think Melissa was plausible.
Like, she was a little bit of, like, a flower child.
Well, that's why Bill and Mommy Mulder are like, or Mommy Scully are like, oh, okay, like, maybe it's true. So they're investigating it. They're, like, okay with her investigating
They're just
it.
Like, all right, whatever gets her out of the house, we gotta go ice skating.
Maybe they just, they're gonna go ice skating.
This is how we get our other flashback, right? This is the one featuring Gillian Anderson's younger sister.
Yes.
Where the sisters are like, oh, we're peeking.
Yeah, we're gonna get our presents already.
I hope I get a Hotel California album.
Yeah, that was wild. But they're given the cross necklaces from their mother. Because,
yeah, this is the origin story.
Yeah.
Because Mrs. Clay says it means God is with you.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought this was a sweet scene.
It was nice to get that origin. I don't know if I needed it. This is like, Spencer compared it in our feedback to, like, the, it's not as bad as, like, the How Jack Got His Tattoos episode from Lost, but, like, it's interesting to get, I think.
I also think it's not as much about the crosses as her relationship with her mom and Melissa, but that's me.
So, as we mentioned before, this is when we find out about the deposit. They're going to go to this company, and this is when we first run into old Doc Calderon.
At the pharmaceutical company.
Deadpan, boring British man.
Yeah, and he basically tells them that nothing was amiss. Emily was part of a clinical trials because she has a really serious debilitating disease, and that Roberta was paid the money to keep her from pulling Emily from the program.
And also, it just the anesthesia just happens to be around because, like, he prescribed to her for headaches.
That's what he says. But I also think that this proves that we were right when we said, like, oh, Emily was Roberta was trying to pull her from the program, so she was like having second thoughts.
Yeah. So it's a lot to read between the lines, because it does seem like we leave the Roberta and Mitchell Sims stuff behind in the first episode.
Yeah, we do.
It's interesting. This is one of those two-parters that feels like two distinctly different things.
Yeah, even though it has a through line. But anyway, they arrest Marshall Sim because they're like, you killed her.
Yeah, exactly. And so
Scully's like, hmm.
Yeah, and this is when also, obviously, Emily is going to get taken to, like, foster care for now.
Well, she's taken to a children's hospital first, I think. I think that's it. So it's like a children's center for sick kids.
But there's this really sweet moment on top of
it.
It's going to be a couple episodes full of sweet moments where, like, Scully, you know, buckles Emily into the car and she grabs the cross and she gives it to her.
Yeah. And the actress, the little girl actress that plays Emily is very cute.
She's very cute. And she doesn't have to do much, right?
Because she doesn't talk a lot.
She doesn't say anything. I wonder, is that part of, like, you know,
I think she's just scared.
Well, I was thinking more back to, like, the Heron Vogue, like, remember the little Samanthas and the little boys at the
commute? Because she does talk.
Oh, she
She's
does.
Not mute. She says, I mean, there's a few times where she says things, but I think she's just scared.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's the Christmas party. Scully.
This looks like a fun party.
Yeah, I mean, Bill, of course, is like glad handing with everybody.
Yeah, and it's a bunch of like Navy based people because they are all in uniform and there's like everyone's in sweaters and blah, blah, blah.
But Bill, unfortunately, is going to rain or snow on her day because he basically says, like, oh, here's some photos for you. These are photos from Melissa in that 8 month period you're talking about. She ain't preggers.
Yeah, she doesn't look pregnant. She's not pregnant. She would have, like, and it's not even like from early in the process. It's basically like a few days before Emily would have been born. So she would have looked very pregnant. So
it's a rough couple of circumstances for Scully, because we find out here that she had sent in an application to basically like adopt Emily.
Yeah.
Which was complicated for many reasons, as we'll get into soon. Here it's more so like, oh, I think she's my niece. But she's been denied it. I know you took a lot of umbrage with
the rationale behind it. They said she's not denied it yet. She's basically, she has to give a recommendation to the judge. The judge is the person that decides it. But she was like, at this point, I don't think I'd give you a recommendation. And here are the reasons why. You are a single woman. Excuse me.
Is that stopping the car?
Yeah, stopping the car. Pump the brakes, lady. Single women can do a lot. So
they can.
I don't think you should
look at Murphy Brown.
And also, like, adoptions, yes, it's very difficult. You want to make sure you find the right family. All of this, I am not saying that. But given the circumstances, like, Scully is a educated, like, well-off young woman. Like, there, yes, she's in a job that is dangerous, but if
right.
she's saying,
I think the high stress job is
that
is
was the part that I was
valid.
Like, that's fine.
No,
valid.
The long-term relationship, I mean, considering I know it's a bit of a false story, but like, look at The Sims as an example.
Yeah,
of like how maybe just because there are two people in the relationship mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's great.
And there's so many kids like in the foster system, and this kid is like severely debilitated with an illness.
Yeah.
So if somebody's willing to adopt her and take care of her and give her love and like effect, like she really should be recommending anybody at this point, you know? Like,
yeah, beggars can't be choosers.
Like, this girl is like clearly not going to live very long. She has a really hard illness. So
yeah. I got to say, these were a couple
that at this point, they don't know is alien related.
Right. These were a couple of really good episodes for Gillian Anderson. I know that, you know, the reception might be mixed behind these episodes, but I feel like she does a really good job. She has, I think, her first...
I think it also pushes her character forward a little bit, too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, she has her first big moment in this scene where she basically talks about, like, mm-hmm. questioning her priorities, that for a while she was so concerned with her own mortality that she really wasn't focused on any
She never even thought... And also, like, when she was so focused on her career, she wasn't focused on any relationships or having kids, and she just didn't think about it.
And we get a really, like, seamless segue. I really like the camera mm-hmm. work they do on that to basically, like, pan around, show Melissa, and it turns out that now we're back in, what, the moment that Scully decides to leave Quantico to go to the FBI?
Yeah, so it's like the Christmas of... Or
69!
Yeah, where she's not going to become a doctor or, you know, her dad... She's going to medical school and she could either, like, go into, like, being a doctor or whatever, going to house, and she decides she's going to join the FBI and she's, like, nervous about it or whatever.
Scully, no matter what path you choose, always insist on saying that you're a medical doctor.
Yeah,
in every
you
situation.
Must. but basically, Melissa's like, it's fine. Well, do it.
Yeah, she basically gives like that philosophy again, very Melissa. There is no right or wrong. Life is just a path. It's not even about the end point. It's about the stuff you do along the way.
Yeah, so she said, don't worry about it. If this is what you feel is right, then do it, which I think is pretty good advice.
Yeah, and I really like the idea of you don't know how your life is going to change or how you're going to change the
who
lives
who you're going to meet along the way. Wink, wink, Mulder.
Yeah, I think it's a cool idea,
no, it's
though.
True.
I don't know. I, that's what I sort of think about as well. Sometimes when you think about just like mm-hmm. you have no idea how many people you might affect.
Yeah.
Who knows how many people are enjoying the stuff that we're doing right now with us just, like, prattling into the microphone with complete nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's, you know, fair.
It's a cool philosophy from Melissa. Mm-hmm. And I hope, you know, I think it gets Scully to sort of recontextualize everything. But everything is about to change.
Yes, for sure.
Happy Christmas, Harry. It's Christmas
yeah, you
morning.
Freaked out when this happened, but basically Christmas...
wild!
I also thought it was a little wild that they had a courier from the FBI bring these results on Christmas morning.
You know who it was? It was the cigarette smoking man. Maybe. I remember he was the one that was like, oh yeah, Christmas is next week. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. But he... basically, nobody can sign for it but her, and it's the DNA results that she ordered on her...
She just took a DNA test. Turns out she's 100% Emily's mother.
Good one. But
you
yeah, she.
Staring at me
I was like, what are you trying to say?
Because
you weren't
time.
Using the right cadence for that song.
Well, no, I was trying to make it dramatic.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
That's the only Lizzo song I know the lyrics to.
You don't, though, know the lyrics because you always get them wrong.
No, well, is that the same song? I think that's a different song.
Yeah, it is a different song.
Yeah, you're thinking about Good as Hell.
Yeah, I am thinking about Good as Hell, which you don't know the lyrics to.
I do my hair down, dress my nails.
It's not correct. but anyway, yeah, she's the mom, and this is wild because she's never had a baby.
Yeah, and so this stunned me for so many reasons. I guess I was just sort of like buying it hook, line, and sinker that the whole Melissa mm-hmm. thing was happening. Or maybe I was thinking about cloning that I didn't even imagine. And especially with all like the Scully motherhood stuff that had been teased a couple times that like, she was, and look, it's not going to be a very long time this time around for her, you know, dance with motherhood, but it's a pretty wild cliffhanger.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. And it's also like, I mean, you didn't know it was coming, so I was like surprised at how surprised you were. But happened. Yeah.
So Scully is the mommy, And we're going to take a quick break, you know, going to get some eggnog, maybe.
I love eggnog.
And then we come back as the year and the clocks turn around, I believe, after New Year's, right, was when.
Yeah, I think it's like over that period between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, so we're going to take a look at Emily when the Christmas cheer just turns to bitter, bitter cold. Angela, I know I said the cold is coming, but first we must start.
Cold never bothered me anyway.
Yeah, but first we got to start in the desert.
So we do have to start in the desert.
Did the sand bother you?
The sand did. So I, as soon as this episode started, I like immediately remembered the scene and just how like weird it was. But it sticks out in my memory as like a pretty quintessential X-Files opening because it's
really well done.
But it's super well done, but it's Gillian Anderson in a long... blue evening gown.
Yeah, with like slits in it, right? So slow-mo, it like flows behind her.
Yeah, slow-mo walking through the desert and saying, like with an over, what is it called?
Voiceover.
An over voice. Of a poem being read. And
yeah,
it
that,
is.
That ticks the boxes, right? It's like, doing like, you know,
they love a poem,
heightened language or poetry, doing like, you know, trippy visuals. In this case, it's her finding a cross in the sand.
Yeah.
And as she finds the cross, she herself turns to dust.
It's a cool
effect. This opening seems like really well done.
And what comes to play at the end of the episode is, so this is like a vision of something we're supposed
to
see.
A premonition of like what happens after these human-alien hybrids die.
Yes, exactly. But we don't know that yet. And we're just like, maybe this is Scully thinking we're all, you know, dust and shadows, you know,
it's a cool thing. I mean, we also
Dante's Inferno and all that.
We very rarely see Gillian Anderson like in a long dress.
Yeah,
in
she looks
show.
Great. So, honestly, season 5 is peak Gillian Anderson, like hair, skin. She looks great. She's hydrated.
But does she dress her nails?
She must. She must.
She's feeling good as hell.
But yeah, anyway.
So Mulder's
he's
in this
back.
Episode. He's gonna, it's clear that he still has some work to do with children, at least. He's talking about did I get you a Mr. Potato Head? And just this weird impression where he like puffs his cheeks out.
I think it's cute.
It's cute, but also like we have a Mr. Potato Head. It's not good verisimilitude, Mulder.
Okay, well, I don't think he was going for accuracy, but basically he just shows up because Scully like hadn't told him what was going on.
Right,
we're supposed to assume.
We didn't talk about this. When she called him in like his wee willy winky ski cap, she hung up. She basically did what was done to her. And like as soon as she picked up, she hung up the phone. So he's like, something's going on here.
Yeah, well, so she does finally tell him, and he comes and she introduces him to Emily. And he basically tells her that he had the Frohickey lone gunman crew look into the case.
Yes, and finds that her birth mother is a woman named Anna Fugazi. And that's Mulder being like,
Fugazi.
Oh, God, this is like my Bart Simpson prank call moment. We know Fugazi means fake in Italian. Clearly, it's a front for something.
Yeah, and they're basically, I mean, they weren't able to find any records of how she was born or came into the world or any of that. So, I mean, it is pretty fishy. Even if the name ends up being a real name, it's not great.
Right, exactly. It's like calling yourself, like, Matthew Fake, you know?
Yeah, or it's like the John Smiths of the world, you know?
Exactly. So, it's clear they're sort of commiserating here. And Scully is now, we saw this a little bit with Memento Mori, right? Like, this idea of sometimes when she has to reconcile something that seems utterly ridiculous, but like she is faced first hand experience with that thing, right?
Yeah.
Because like Mulder asked her, why did you call me Scully? She says, because I couldn't believe it.
You're the only person that could think about or
genuinely believe this idea that maybe my eggs were harvested and used to produce this child.
Well, yeah, and I think also she was in shock and she was trying to adopt this girl and like all this other stuff was going on, so she was just like, I had a lot to process. Sorry.
Well, while Mulder's in town, he's going to end up being sort of like the star witness for Emily's custody.
Yeah, so she needs to have, for the adoption case, she needs to have somebody give her a character reference, and she's asked Mulder to do it, and he's like, I should not do this. Like, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, like, I just wanted to tell you that, like, this child, you want to have an attachment to her, but, like, she was bred out of this project. that clearly wants to be used for other purposes. She is a miracle never meant to be.
And Scully's reaction is like, but she is. Like, she may not have meant to be, but she...
disregard the fact that this child exists, which is tough because I know that
I totally get it.
I think at this point, especially with the Samantha stuff, like Mulder's undergone his own experience.
He's a little bit detached.
Yeah, with these hybrids to know, like, you have to emotionally detach yourself from these things.
Speaking of detached from reality, Mulder tells the judge that this baby was conceived out of ovum that were taken from Scully during an abduction. And the judge is like, are you effing nuts?
He says, like, does FBI stand for Federal Bureau of Imagination?
I
think he also calls
that.
It like something out of like a Michael Crichton novel as well.
Yeah, which I mean,
yeah,
it's fair.
Michael Crichton was all about how Jurassic Park was made.
Why? I just don't understand why Mulder felt it was necessary to tell the judge that. Yeah. Like, he thought it was going to prove that Scully should have this kid.
And it's a thing, right? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You've gotten laughed out of so many rooms.
Seriously.
From professional FBI agents. Why do you think approaching this like rando San Diego judge?
Yeah.
I do believe you, your alien ovum harvesting story.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're unclear about whether or not she would get Emily at this point, but they get a mysterious call?
Yep.
Yeah.
They get a call from the
another
county,
call.
The county children's center. This time is more so basically like whoever it is.
I think it's Emily.
You think it's Emily?
I think it's supposed to be Emily calling, asking for help, right?
No, I thought it was supposed to be whatever this, like, disembodied spirit is being like, you have to go help her now.
I thought it was supposed to be like that, but it was in the the way of like, help me, like.
Oh no, I didn't get that whatsoever.
I mean, either way, somebody's calling because they find out it's from the county children's center.
Yeah, which is where she's staying. Because she is dripping in sweat.
Yeah, she's like a feverish, like, exclamation point, exclamation point.
And it looks like, you know, she had that Halloween.
It's like that scene in Balto at the end of Balto when they're...
Well, they deliver the vaccine.
Yes! And all the kids are, like, so sweaty and feverish.
What's the one thing you remember from Balto?
Yes! That was traumatizing
to me. What about, like, the goose that talks with the Minnesota accent?
I don't remember that, but
I think maybe thinking there's a Russian goose.
I think it's a Russian goose.
Yeah.
Because it takes place in the Great White North.
Exactly. To get those vaccines back to those sweaty, sweaty children.
Yeah, I remember being a little traumatized by that.
Poor Emily, you could tell that, like, you know, she had this really devoted Halloween costume, and, like, she couldn't just get that one piece of green makeup off the back
of
her neck.
Stop it.
But, yeah, there's a little patch of green skin.
Yeah, it's a green cyst on the back of her neck, and they're like, okay, well, we're going to get a biopsy, because, you know, that's what you do. But Mulder takes a little too long staring at this girl about to get a biopsy.
Like, let me put two and two together.
No, don't touch her! And
nope,
then
too late
because
she
the nurse is in a coma.
And it's officially revealed, yep, she's a hybrid, and we know what happens with hybrids. When you prick us, do we not bleed?
You do, but it's green and it's acidic.
It's toxic gas, basically.
But before that, the doctor, the ER doctor, whatever, basically tells them, like, there's not much we can do. Like, we need to talk to her doctor.
Yeah,
like,
because Dr. Calderon has refused to release her medical records.
Which is wild.
Basically saying, like, oh, you are preventing her from getting the proper treatment right now.
Yeah, so,
Mulder kicks the shit out of Calderon.
Yeah.
This is wild to me.
He just abruptly assaults him, is what I read.
Well, okay, sort of, because what it resorts to, and we've seen Mulder, like, really give it to Skinner a couple times.
Yeah, but he whips out his gun during the middle of a, like, hospital. Like, it's a little intense.
But what Mulder does here, I think is so funny. The Mulder stuff in here is actually, I think, unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
Where with Calderon, he, like, slaps him around a couple times and, like, kind of, like, gives him little itty-bitty kicks.
Yeah, and then, like, pistol whips him.
Yeah, and it's, like, really accelerates and calls him a medical rapist.
Yeah. But basically, Mulder's like, you suck.
He was trying to essentially, like
threaten him into giving them the records,
browbeat him into release. Like, you're letting this girl die on your hands.
Wild.
She's not dying, in my opinion. She's watching. This is the only thing that I could pay attention to. It's like your Balto moment. Yeah. Do you know what Emily was watching on the TV screen?
I don't remember.
She was watching a little 90s cartoon called Life with Louie. So I'm not sure if you remember.
I do remember Life with Louie. Yeah. I didn't notice it.
In the 90s, there was this, like, series of shows where they would, for some reason, give these adult comedians animated series. Like, that was Bobby's World with Howie Mandel.
Yes.
And this was Life with Louie. They decided to say, okay, Louie Anderson is going to lead an animated series. And I always remember it because the actual, like, characterization of the Louie kid is so...
It's bad.
Fugly.
Yeah. It's not cute.
He has, like, bags under his eyes. He has big old buck teeth.
And so yeah, they phoned that one in.
As soon as I saw that kid, I'm like, oh, that's Life with Louie.
I can't remember. I can't say that I watched a lot of Life with Louie, but I do recall it. But yeah, so this is when Scully is going to have some tests done on Emily, some imaging tests.
I said this machine sounds intense. I think I've been privileged enough to not have undergone MRIs.
Yes, I've had 3 MRIs in my life because I suffer from a lot of things, including chronic migraines, mm-hmm. and they like to do lots of tests.
Is this like comparable to that?
Yeah, it's an MRI. You go in, but usually they put headphones on you. I mean, maybe they didn't do that back in the 90s.
Well, no, that's how what happened in the pilot of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Yeah, because whenever they give me an MRI or I've had an MRI, they ask me what kind of music I want, and I never know what to say. So I always say, like, you pick, and then they always pick something, like, really, really crazy.
Should you pick something?
Like, what would I say? Like, Taylor Swift?
Like, you'd be like, musical theater, please.
I'll take the Broadway Spotify show. They have Spotify, so you could just say, like, oh, a playlist from, like, the 90s or something, but I never know what to say. I also don't want these, like, cool, like, lab techs judging me.
You are really worried about these medical professionals being like, wow, look at her taste in music.
You're in there for a while.
No wonder she's got an MRI. Something's wrong with her tastes if she's got doing for this type of tune.
Get out of here.
So Mulder is going to meanwhile follow Calderon to basically meet in like a separate location with, stop me if you heard this before, some shady white guys in dark suits.
Yeah, so these are dark suited men, part of the syndicate.
Yeah, but we also find out that not only is Emily a hybrid, so is Dr. Calderon.
Yeah, so he gets
pricked with the next thingy thing.
Yeah, and so are these men. They're clearly bounty hunters.
Yeah, they're the alien bounty. So I couldn't remember when we encountered the alien bounty hunter last. Was it confirmed that, like, there were multiple of them?
Yes, because there are. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to remember.
There's that one specific one, but then there's also these guys that can morph.
Yeah, because we know that there are at least 2, right?
And the hybrids can't morph, right? Yeah.
No, the hybrids can't morph. They just have the alien gene. This is like very, these are aliens.
Yeah, exactly. And whether or not they're bounty hunters is like whatever.
It's always a welcome surprise when they show up of just like, oh yeah, I forgot about you. Welcome back.
So basically both of these guys morph into Calderon and Mulder follows one of them thinking he's following him. But the other one is like going to the hospital to inject Emily with like more green goo.
Yeah, because basically now, again, this is where like the house situation comes in, right? The doctor's like, oh, there's this weird growth in Emily. It's not cancer, but it's essentially like killing oxygen around the central nervous system.
And it's like basically taking over her central nervous system. And the issue is that like she's in a lot of pain and like suffering, but when he injects her with this green goo, like she's okay. Like, it's still killing her, but she doesn't feel it anymore.
Yeah, it's this weird thing, right, where, like, while Scully's talking with the doctors, Calderon just, like, walks in. This is the weird thing, and one of the weird things about the X-Files is, like, what people are and aren't allowed to get away with in hospitals.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff, whether or not it's true for the time or if it's just, like, TV magic, but yeah, they're definitely allowed to do a lot more than you would think.
Right, like walk in, inject Emily with something so that it looks like she's flatlining, but then like she stabilizes.
Yeah, meanwhile, like when we had Asher in the hospital, it was like this really elaborate security system of bracelets and tags and...
I do recall, I did get a flashback though when Scully like dramatically hits the button. To, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember doing that like time and time again to leave our zone.
Yeah, to leave our zone. But like, I remember every time they gave me any kind of medication, they had to ask me my name, my birthday, and then like they had to check it with the ID that was on me.
Yeah.
Like the bracelet. And I'd be like, I don't know. I just had a baby. Give me drugs.
Maybe it's because of the X-Files.
Maybe. But yeah, so anyway.
The shapeshifter's gone, right? He does his little routine, but by the time Scully catches up to him, it's not him. It's just some dude in a mustache.
Yeah, I think it's the same guy he changed into last time.
The clones?
Yeah, the clone guys.
The ones that worked in the...
they all look very similar.
Yeah.
Nondescript white men.
A lot of face blindness here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But basically, Scully also says, and she confirms what we thought we were talking about in the beginning, that the Sims were murdered because they were trying to stop the trials.
Yeah.
Because they were like, they didn't want to do it anymore to Emily.
So, meanwhile, Mulder... He's going to believe...
Follows other Calderon.
Yeah, he's going to basically be like, you know, first of all, he believes that basically... this Calderon didn't actually kill Emily. It's a bluff. He feels the syndicate doesn't want her dead either.
Because they're doing experiments
on her. Yeah, like too valuable experimentation. But he's going to go to this senior center and happened to find a woman named Anna Fugazi.
Anna Fugazi.
Yeah, this is a weird ass part of the episode.
Yeah, so there are all these elderly women in basically a nursing home, and Mulder comes to the conclusion that these women were inseminated with the eggs of...
It's like in vitro, right?
Yeah. They were basically like, not in vitro fertilization, because in vitro fertilization is when you take...
It's more so like, it's surrogates, like you said, right?
Yeah,
like
so basically they're
like
surrogates.
A sperm and an egg are conceived and then like put inside this one.
Yeah, which I guess that is in vitro, but basically these women are like unaware that it's being done to them because they're going into their beauty rest.
Yeah, they think that like, oh, they're undergoing some sort of like cosmetic...
So what are they under there? They end that for 9 months, or is it maybe it's done faster?
I don't know. I have no idea how any of this works.
Well,
I also really question like clearly there must have been a much more stable guys to use than old women who biologically.
But that's the thing. No, so they're giving them estrogen,
right? Because that's the thing, right? The Frohickey finds out that like they've been all given like estrogen and progesterone, mm-hmm, which are hormones.
That you require that are found in pregnant women. So they're basically, I guess it actually is the perfect place to do these kinds of experiments because people are not watching nursing homes. We found that out during COVID-19.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It just feels weird. Like, I feel like from a physical perspective, even if you pump it full of hormones, like, I don't know how much an old lady's body can take.
It's not that hard to give birth. She said, having gone through the worst pregnancy ever.
Yeah, like at the age of 29.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's just, I don't know. I guess it's just like a good cover. So they didn't really care about what was happening to these women, you know?
Yeah, it's just a wild scheme to do. It is a little crazy.
Mulder also finds the medical records with Scully's name on it.
Right, because he just sort of like goes into this back room, right, where it's just like all these ladies are sort of, I don't know, like catatonic.
Yeah, and Mulder connects the names of the women in the nursing home to recent births.
Yeah, they all gave birth to babies given up for adoption in the same year. So especially like it's done in like waves.
Waves, yeah. And they also, he finds a little fetus baby.
Yeah, a little fetus in like a little green jar.
Yeah, so it's a little hybrid fetus. So the question is then maybe they put, I don't know, maybe they're just using these women to like, who's to say?
I don't know. I find it's weird. Meanwhile, Scully is growing more and more frazzled with the situation.
Yeah,
right?
She does this, she tries to do a test on Emily too, where they're going to put her in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, and I don't know why they're doing that, but she reacts badly to it.
Yeah, well, she also has that scene before though, right, where like the typical scene in a medical drama where the doctor's like, you're not responding with any clinical capabilities, like you're reacting too emotionally, you can't
well,
give
doesn't,
a proper diagnosis
for this child.
Well,
doesn't, it's the lady that, it's the adoption lady too.
Oh, was it?
That woman that comes in.
I thought it was
in,
just a nurse.
No, that was the adoption lady. She was like, you shouldn't be making decisions for this child. Like you, yes, you're a medical doctor, but you're too emotionally connected now.
Yeah. Which is not.
Also, like you have no legal right.
It's not incorrect.
No,
like,
it's right.
Not to say that Scully, it wouldn't get in the way of being the correct verdict, but like she is being incredibly supportive to Emily right now. Like you said, like, she's standing alongside her in the oxygen chamber.
I think she cares more than one would expect a medical like representative for a patient to care.
I'm wondering what this oxygen test was for.
That's what I just said. I was like, I don't know why they put her
from a medical perspective even.
Hyperbaric oxygen chamber? Like, what does that do?
Because we know that what the reaction is, right? Like, her veins begin to pop and she starts just like freaking out.
Maybe it's meant to like, I don't know, just do a special scan or something. You have to take the oxygen out. I don't know. Or maybe they think it'll help her condition.
It floods it with oxygen. So I don't
know. So maybe they think it'll help her condition to like have more oxygen.
Well, because I guess that makes sense. Because remember, they said that the growth was like cutting off oxygen.
Yeah.
So maybe they thought like, oh, if we put a lot of oxygen.
It's like when Lily was little, like our doggy, who's a little Yorkie, was a baby.
People remember she's the one who's fated to eat the moon one day.
She fated to eat the moon. She had little doggy cold like when she was a baby, and they had to put her in this like big tent and flood it with steam and then put the antibiotics in that way so she could breathe them in.
Yeah, because obviously you can't tell a puppy to like take a pill or anything.
Yeah, well, you could give it a shot, but it's like better if she breathes it in, I guess. I don't know, but it reminded me of that, like a little hyperbaric oxygen chamber for a puppy.
So, again, this whole Mulder storyline is so odd to me. You know what doesn't help is the music.
Yeah,
it's not
such
doofy music.
It was a little doofy.
Like, it literally went dun, dun, dun when he ends up finding Calderon.
Yeah, well, the effing detective arrives, too.
Oh, Detective Kresge.
Yeah, this guy, like, does not know what he's in for. So basically,
it's yet another situation, right? This happens every time they deal with an alien bounty hunter is, like, corner them. Here comes rando cop. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot you. Don't shoot them. I'm going to shoot anyway. Bang, bang, bang. They get away.
Yeah, well, and also then the person, like, ends up going under because they smell the green blood. But before that, Mulder steals, like, the vials, right, of the green stuff?
He steals one of the vials.
I think he steals a couple of the vials of the green solution that they were using to treat Emily.
Yeah, because he's going to look at that at the end.
Well, and he's going to try to... he wants to bring it back to treat Emily.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
So I'm surprised, true to the, again, usual scheme of the ABH, that when Mulder, you know, walks out and then Detective Kresge comes out like, oh, I got him. Like, let's drive up. You don't pause for a second and be like,
yeah, that was
could that
dumb.
Be the shapeshifter?
That was pretty dumb of him. But I guess this helps him escape, so whatever.
Considering that the last time he saw Kresge, he was like down on the ground being like, ah, I was not prepared for
to
this.
Green goo, ah!
Exactly. So this is,
anyway,
you know,
Emily has gone into a coma, and it's really, really sad.
Yeah, this is the last
we're gonna breeze past the baby death.
It's tough, yeah, because Scully's gonna, like, get in bed with her and cuddle sick Emily, and then it just dissolves to a stained glass window of Mary. Very appropriate. Again, talking about, like, not immaculate conception, but
no,
certainly,
but sort
like,
of
some weird form of conception. They basically say that Emily's could not survive what her body was doing to her.
Yeah.
So was this just like a natural thing from the hybridization? Was it any particular treatment being done to her?
I think it was a mix of both, like that they were experimenting on creating alien human hybrids and this one just failed, but that they were doing these treatments to try to like fix it maybe.
Yeah.
But when they stopped the treatments, she died, you know, because it was taking over her body. So
you think it was more of like an inevitable thing than, oh, because these doctors didn't know what they were doing, it killed her?
Well, created her in a way that was not gonna ever end up well, but they tried to fix it and it didn't work, and then she died.
Yeah, see, this is why, like, either you grow them for a while and make them become adults and clones, or you, like, send them off to a commune somewhere where they get taken care of. You can't release them out in the real
world.
Well,
I think they were trying to create a new kind of alien hybrid, and it just wasn't working. I don't know. They were doing experiments, but poor little Scully and Mulder, and Emily's in the coffin in the funeral, and it's a sad.
It's really sad. It sucks. It sucks a lot. It really, really sucks. It's just really, especially as parents, like, it's again, her parents are dead slash, like, it's complicated, but it's really, really rough. Oh, yeah, we forgot to say that Mr. Sim got killed in prison.
Mr. Sim got killed in prison, and Officer Kresge is okay, but he's recovering.
Yeah.
But
at least, you know, life begins anew. Little baby was born, Matthew Scully.
Yeah, so...
Was that the name of the father, was Matthew, or did they name it after the dead dad?
I don't remember. I don't know, because she didn't call him that. She called him Dad.
Yeah, Dad Scully.
Well, then she called him Ahab, Captain Ahab, and then Starbuck and whatever. But I feel like his name was also Bill.
Yeah, that's what I
but
feel
all
like.
But everyone's name is Bill.
In this family, so I'm surprised it wasn't Bill Scully the Third.
Yeah, well, Matthew's a good name, though. It's cute.
Yeah, and Mulder's going to come in late with some flowers to put on the coffin.
Yeah, and then basically he says, like, the only evidence that's left is Emily's body because the nursing home and Prangen, the pharmaceutical company, they're all gone.
Yeah, and Spencer wrote this. I think we're to assume that, like, Prangen is sort of, like, part of that whole
Roush
or whatever it was stuff from the beginning of the season.
Yeah, like a fake sort of company, but...
Yeah.
So they open the coffin and they find sand inside the coffin, which is... and Scully's cross necklace is in there, which mirrors the beginning of the episode.
I really like that. And I think Gillian Anderson does a really, really good job with it. She's really good at this scene. And I also really like the writing here, specifically this line about, you know... basically Mulder telling Scully that, you know, Emily was there for her to love her. It goes back to what Melissa told
and
her
she,
right
and
about the
Scully
people you meet along
there.
The way.
Scully was there for her to like, there for Emily when she needed her the most, and she was loved, and that's a lot.
And that's, I mean, it's rough, but, like, it's...
It was pretty. It was, like, very beautiful.
It's really beautiful, I think. And I think it's a good way to look back, and again, like, death can be so cruel and unforgiving, and I think we look at sort of that end... But I think to remember, like, you know, if you look at, like, larger purposes as to why we're here, when you look at the people we interact with and how much we might have an effect on anyone, even just a small moment during the day, like, that can speak volumes.
Yeah, exactly. And then they also, I think the end of this was just, like, really well shot as well within the church and the stained glass and all of that.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful conclusion to what I'll admit. I think I liked Christmas Carol a lot more than I did.
Well, yeah, Emily. It was more like a let's wrap this up type of episode.
And I think Christmas Carol, as I mentioned before, had a distinctly different tone than Emily did. I think the Emily stuff ended, the ending of Emily was maybe my favorite part of both episodes, but I'd say Christmas Carol overall, I think, to me, was more solid.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you there, but also I don't dislike these episodes as much as a lot of people do, but I think they were important to watch.
Yeah, so who are our spooks here? Is Emily
I think the disembodied voice is in the first one. And then I'm going to go with Bill.
Bill. I'm going to go with disembodied voice.
Or should it be that weird priest that they invite over to Christmas?
No, that was from a different episode.
Was it?
Because that's from back when she was in the hospital from the end of season 4.
He was probably there, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they had him out on loan. But I think for Emily, for me, it's got to be the, like, Anna Fugazi and the entire nursing home fiasco.
That actress was kind of crazy.
It was just such a wild scheme to me.
Yeah, it was a little crazy.
Well, the craziness continues, and we're going to keep going straight through season 5 here. Next up, we've got, we're going back to 2 Monster of the Week episodes, or at least standalone episodes. We're going back to back here. Season 5, episode 11, Kill Switch, and episode 12, Bad Blood.
Yeah, these are, so the Kill Switch is not one of my favorite episodes, but I think that you will really enjoy it.
Okay, why?
I'm just going to say video games.
Okay. Oh, I remember this. I remember when we did the first podcast, you said there was going to be an episode about video games.
And then Bad Blood is the aforementioned vampire.
Okay.
Episode.
So I'm going to get my fangs in and talk about the vampires next week.
Sure.
The 2 V's, vampires and video games.
Yeah, the 2 V's. So I'm pretty excited because Bad Blood is amazing. It's so good.
This is going to be very fun. Season 5 so far has been like a wild ride.
Yeah.
Despite us only covering it for a few weeks at this point.
Season 5 is great. Love it.
Well, we're going to keep going with that. Of course, if you have any feedback, you know how to reach out to us. Bloomfiles@postshowrecaps.com, xfiles@postshowrecaps.com, or tweet us at @AngePelagi, at @AMikeBloomType. @PostShowRecast. But otherwise, we're going to come back with controllers and typo blood to talk about Kill Switch and Bad Blood episodes 11 and 12 of The X-Files Season 5. Special thanks to Corey B. for his fantastic theme song, even better than some of the best Christmas carols. We'll talk to you all next week. Until then, case closed.